First of all, he's definitely going to try to deregulate wherever possible. And Doge, Elon, and Vivek are going to try to do, getting rid of lots of useless government employees and useless government agencies, that's going to be a tough row to hoe, because the deep state is going to fight them tooth and nail, both with slow walking and with lawsuits and God knows what else they're going to try to do. But they'll make progress, and that's very good. So that's a positive thing. Problem with Trump is that
Doug Casey, good afternoon to you. How are you?
I'm quite good. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you so much for coming on here. A lot of events that are happening specifically where I'd like to start with is in Latin America. And what better place to start than in your neck of the woods in Uruguay, Argentina, specifically Argentina. I want to get your thoughts on what's going on there. With Milei coming into power, it seems like they've had a good run here in the last year, if you would, with deregulation, and the stock market's really, really hot right now. But just wanted to get your thoughts on if this is sustainable and what's really happening in Argentina.
It's something of absolutely world historic importance. It's one of the biggest things to have ever happened politically. Now, why do I say that? It's because Milei is an avowed and declared anarcho-capitalist, like myself. I'm also an anarcho-capitalist. What's an anarcho-capitalist? It's a person who doesn't believe in the legitimacy of the state, of government as an entity. And Milei is very smart. He's very well-educated. He knows all the tenets of how a society would work without the state, without government. That's the direction he wants to take Argentina. Now, he's gone pretty far and pretty fast, abolishing lots of agencies, firing scores of thousands of government employees, getting rid of lots of regulations. The government is running a budget surplus for about the first time ever in Argentina. And what he's doing with that surplus is he's using it to reduce taxes, not to make the state more stable, but to reduce taxes. It's fantastic what he's doing. This is a very big deal. And in response, the stock market's about doubled in the last year. He's been in office for a little more than a year now, slightly more than a year. I think it's going to go a lot higher. Real estate prices, and I'm mainly invested in real estate in Argentina, also Uruguay, where I am right now, across the Plate River, has not moved yet. It's starting to move, but it's moving from an extremely low level in Argentina. Prices of property in the Recoleta, for instance, which is the equivalent of the Upper East Side of New York in Buenos Aires, I'd say they're in between 5% and 10%, maybe less, of what they are in New York. So it's really cheap. And I think that Buenos Aires is actually a much nicer place to be than New York, so they can flip within a generation. So, yeah, that brings us up to date with Argentina. I'm very bullish on the future for it. And I think Milei is more popular now than he was when he was elected a year ago, mostly by young people, incidentally. And I think he'll be reelected in 3 years, and hopefully he can actually change the culture of Argentina by doing these things.
Yeah, I hope so as well. My own opinion was I was not optimistic, but it sounded interesting, and I was grateful that it seemed like somebody got in there, and now I'm just very surprised. Oh, things are working out, but I only view that from a distance. My follow-up question is that, do you think this will flow into the adjoining countries, like Brazil, if you would, Paraguay, Chile, And do you also the rest of Latin America, is it going to influence that?
Well, there's something else big that's happened in Latin America, in particular in El Salvador, in Central America. It was, for many years, it's been the second worst place in the Western Hemisphere. The worst place is Haiti. I've spent a lot of time in Haiti. And it's a total shithole. Well, when I first went there 50 years ago, it was actually a nice place, believe it or not. I thought El Salvador was horrible. But because he's locked up 65, 70,000 young men, the crime rate has fallen to, it's now the safest place about in the world, with the exception of Switzerland and a few places like that. So that's also a big thing that's happened in Latin America. And he's made Bitcoin legal tender there, which is a step in the right direction, because the dollar, the US dollar, was actually the national currency of El Salvador before he did that. So, yeah, I think there's a trend that's starting in Latin America, not just in Argentina, but also in El Salvador, in different ways. Now, what's going to happen? I forget when Lula, this horrible criminal that runs Brazil now, is going to be kicked out, and hopefully will be replaced with Bolsonaro. Bolsonaro's not like Milei; he's more like Trump, but still a step in the right direction. All these countries in Latin America, they're all different from each other. They're all quite different from each other. I've been to all of them, of course, numerous times. So we could talk about South America if you want. I'm not sure most people really care about the place. One thing I will say is that a prudent American, or Canadian for that matter, will have a, if he can afford it, and he should be able to report it. If you can't afford it, then whose fault is that? Have a second crib someplace else in the world. And Latin America is an excellent choice.
Speaking of that, is there like another place in the world that looks attractive? And you've been all over the world throughout your life. Spent a lot of time in Africa, in Asia. Well, spent a lot of time outside the US. But yeah, is there, but specifically in the third world or the second world that looks attractive to you from both a living point of view as well as an investment point of view?
Well, it depends on who you are and what you want, obviously. Let me put it this way. If you're a young man in his 20s or 30s and are looking to make your fortune, Africa is still the best place in the world by far to do so. I'm a big fan of Africa, although Africa is changing rapidly right before our eyes at this point. If you're a young guy looking to make his fortune, Africa is the place to go. If you're looking for a pleasant lifestyle, I think Thailand is probably the best place to go. It's got everything going for it. Where else could you go? I mean, I used to live in New Zealand. It's a mellow, quiet place. I like it. But, sociologically, it's got problems. It suffers from, like Australia does, from what we call the tall poppy syndrome, where if you are too outspoken or too rich, your neighbors suffer from envy and will take you down. Also, New Zealand, like Australia, is changing sociologically in much the same way that Canada is. Canada is no longer the country it used to be, quite frankly. That's due to a massive immigration from the Indian subcontinent. So there's trouble brewing in Canada. But on the bright side, Trudeau has just resigned, and that's a huge plus.
Yeah. Work it out a little bit for me, and then I would like to talk about the US. Trudeau just resigning. Do you think this is the bottom, if you want, in Canada? And I say that because things have gotten so bad, but yet things that are bad can always get worse, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, sure, of course. Which way is Canada going to go at this point? A lot of it is going to depend on what they do with the immigration policy there, because the whole demographic makeup of Canada is changing radically. And it's not like they're bringing in, to quote what Trump said, the best and the brightest, the people that are pouring into Canada now. A lot of them are just looking for the benefits, which the government supplies in massive amounts in Canada and in the United States, quite frankly. So that's part of it. I don't know. If I was an American looking to leave America, like I said, it depends on what I want. And if I was young, yeah, I'd go to Africa. Europe is a sinking ship, quite frankly. I don't see how they can turn that continent around. The culture has become so corrupted with socialism, welfarism. It's going to be tough to turn Europe around, which is really a pity because that's the birthplace of Western civilization. And Western civilization is really the only civilization in the world that makes any difference. I mean, when it comes to China, I'm a fan of Taoism and martial arts and Chinese cooking and a few other things, but that's about it. And when it comes to India, it's just a question of curries and yoga, all the good things in the world, with very few exceptions, have all come from Western civilization, and the Western civilization itself is becoming degraded and is being washed away.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I didn't tell you this offline, but my wife is actually from Central Europe and my daughter is there right now, in Czech Republic. And I remember when I first went there, it was in the mid to late 90s, mid-90s, and then through the 90s and early 2000s, there was so much optimism because of the fall of communism and then just the new reforms and all that. But it seems like things go well for a while and they get, for whatever reason, people get fat and happy, and then they get much worse, if you would. I think that's what's happening to you.
Well, the problem is the institution of the state, quite frankly. And underlying that are people's social and economic philosophies, what they believe, and moral philosophies, what people believe is right and wrong, and how that goes into effect politically and with the economy. And been very much downhill in Europe for years, where everybody is trying to live at the expense of everybody else. Taxes are really high, which makes it very hard to accumulate capital. Regulations are extraordinarily high, which makes it very hard to start a business. I mean, you're lucky if you become an employee to some company. I ran a chart in my in my blog, internationalman.com, last week, reproducing a chart from my friend Alex Kraner, who's a Croatian who lives in Monaco.
I've had fun.
Oh, did you? Okay. Fun. Yeah, a lot of fun. And I don't know if he showed that. I wish I could show you the chart here. But it showed the over the last 50 years, the number and size of new businesses that are over $10 billion in size, okay? And they're little bubbles. But, and comparing the United States to Europe, the number of bubbles and the size of the bubbles for these new companies is like that. And Europe is teeny weeny. All of Europe is like a 20th. this is a sign. I mean, as bad as it is in the U.S. with taxes and regulations, in Europe, it's much worse. I don't know how they're going to turn it around, quite frankly. The future is in Argentina. If I was going to relocate now, forgetting about Africa, forgetting about Thailand, Argentina is the land of the future. It's the seventh largest country in the world, and it's only got 40 million people in it. It's you get outside of Buenos Aires, and the place is empty. You can drive for hours and not see another living soul. It's full of opportunity. And like I said, prices are very low here, even though prices are much higher than they were a year ago, because the currency values are being readjusted and so forth. But yeah, everybody should be in Argentina.
Sounds like the U.S. maybe 100, 125 years ago, no?
I think so. And what's going to happen is that you're going to get the best Europeans, people that are rich, successful, freedom-oriented, are going to say, why am I sticking around in this museum, which is going to become nothing but a petting zoo for the Chinese? I'm going to Argentina, which is more European in good ways than Europe is. So you're going to get a lot of immigration from Europe and also from the U.S. and Canada over the next few years. And that's going to be a very good thing for property prices and the general economy in Argentina.
Interesting. Let's move to the U.S. I have a theory, and I do not want to put words in your mouth, but I want just follow my theory, and I want you to know what you think of it. I actually think that the U.S., and just mean this will happen, but it's getting poised for a boom here with a lot of money flowing here because of deregulation. And also, there's two things, really. Deregulation, which is great for business, and really, well, three things. I would say interest rates relative to anywhere else in the world are relatively stable, if not high-ish, if you would, because every other central bank, it seems to be cutting. And then also with the Trump, and again, I say this agnostically, politically, but with the Trump tax cuts, that's going to lead to an inflationary crack up boom almost, if you would. I wanted to know what your thoughts are here on the U.S. and what I just said.
Yeah, there's a lot to what you said, actually. Trump is going to try to cut actual taxes, which is very good. Well, first of all, he's definitely going to try to deregulate wherever possible. And Doge, Elon, and Vivek are going to try to do, getting rid of lots of useless government employees and useless government agencies, that's going to be a tough row to hoe, because the deep state is going to fight them tooth and nail, both with slow walking and with lawsuits and God knows what else they're going to try to do. But they'll make progress, and that's very good. So that's a positive thing. Problem with Trump is that he's congenitally a big spender and a big borrower. And that means the fiscal situation of the U.S. government's going to get a lot worse. And the only way they're going to get all the money that they're going to need for spending on stuff he likes. And remember, he said, we're not going to cut Social Security. They should work to abolish Social Security, actually. And we're not going to touch Medicaid or Medicare, both of which should be abolished, not just cut back. And the military, it's like a golden welfare queen for the so-called defense companies. I call them weapons manufacturers. And they don't want to cut that back, which is really stupid, too. So there's really not much they can cut back when it comes to spending, because that's where all the money goes, those things right there. And the money that he does spend is the debt is going to be sold to the Federal Reserve, which monetizes it, and it goes into the economy So, yeah, I think inflation could go up a lot in the U.S. It'll be tamped down a little bit by more production through the deregulation. That's pretty good. But and with the stock market right now in a bubble, and the bond market in a bubble, not in the super bubble it was up until a couple of years ago, but both of them are riding for a fall. And we could still have a deflationary credit collapse all in 1929 in the US. It's possible still. Even though I'm betting on inflation, it's still possible. And if that happens, and of course, if that breaks enough people's rice bowls and enough people, lose the phony assets they built up in the stock market and in their house prices, they'll say, oh, get rid of Trump. And somebody from the Democrat Party will come up and say, I can save you. Just give me enough power. All right. My bet is that unlike Argentina, which I think will continue, and Milei will be reelected, got my fingers crossed, in the next election 4 years from now in the U.S., I think the bad guys are going to be back in. So that's the way I see it. That's my guess right now.
Got it. Real quick, and I know you have to go. Give us your if people want to read about you, consume your products, that sort of thing. How do they find you?
Well, they should go to internationalman.com, where I do an article every week. My friend David Stockman, who used to be Reagan's OMB guy, does one every week. Nick Giambruno, a bunch of, we've got some really good articles there, and it's free. So go to internationalman.com. That's one. Also on YouTube, I do Doug Casey's Take with Matt Smith every week. So go there. And the third thing I'd recommend is my novels, of which three have been written: Speculator, Drug Lord, and Assassin, where I trace the history of our hero, Charles Knight, as he advances from a young kid, getting into increasingly politically incorrect occupations and getting into a lot of trouble. The next one. After he's been reformed, the occupation of assassin, he's going to become a terrorist or be accused of being a terrorist. Anyway, I have a lot of views on terrorism as a method of warfare, and it gets more radical from there. So go on to Amazon and pick those up. I think you'll be mightily amused.
Awesome. I was going to ask you, I will put all of this in the show notes below, this interview. I was going to ask you, are you still playing polo?
No, it's a man's got to know his limitations. And I only took up polo when intelligent people are hanging up their spurs. So at this point, the second law of thermodynamics has indicated to me that I'd be more of a liability than an asset on the field. So no, I don't, frankly. But I love polo. It's the most fun you can have with your clothes on.
I remember you were quite the polo player. This was again 30 years ago when I remember you.
Yeah, no, it's true. The trouble with polo, in addition to the fact that it's actually a dangerous sport, because you're riding fast with big animals that are bumping into each other. And the ball comes flying out of nowhere at 100 miles an hour, and people get hurt. But it's like running a small business that hemorrhages money, in addition. I mean, you got to buy a new set of shoes for each of your horses every month. That's just for openers.
Right. Well, Doug, I would love to. I know you have to leave, but I'd love to have you on again. And we'll talk about natural resource stocks. The other thing that I would say that you're known for, international living and the natural resource stocks. But I'd love to have you on again. And we'll talk about that in the near future.
Yeah, I think there's some huge opportunities that are cyclically building up in crappy little resource stocks. Most of them are crappy, but they're volatile. That's the good news.
Yeah, great. All right, Doug, it was an absolute honor and pleasure. I will put everything that we discussed in the show notes.
Fantastic. Talk to you later, Andy.
Thank you.